The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Obviously, there's something, you know, more important that we need to address before we get to football. Obviously, the stuff that has gone on, you know, past week, especially a few days, weekend, has been crazy. Like, you know, many of the community, like the Black community, you know, I'm hurt, sad, in pain. You know, that we had to watch another video of, you know, a Black man being murdered and watching him gas and try to get air and say to the cop, I can't breathe, and ask, you know, basically asking for life. That's not something that you ever get used to, you know. So I want to say I support the protesters. You know, I understand the message. I understand why, what's going on, what's happening. I feel like it's important, especially sitting here with you guys in media. You guys play, I think, a pretty big role in what's going on right now, because you guys play a part in the narrative. And so, you know, over the years, we have always talked to you about, you know, you guys being able to control the narrative and say what's really going on. And so, you know, I feel like a lot of focus is on, you know, rioting, the looting, the people stealing stuff. But we're not talking enough about what started that. You know, I think the Black community is tired of seeing the same things going on and not seeing the change. And, you know, I think we're tired of seeing people not being held accountable for the actions that they do. But understanding if we were in that position, we would be held accountable. And so, you know, I challenge everybody on this call to do your part and report the message and what it really is. And, you know, we're tired of seeing Black people getting killed. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm having conversations with people, and, you know, somebody said, man, you know what? I'm afraid to have a child. I'm afraid to have a Black child because I don't know how they're going to be treated in this world based off their skin color. That's not something that anybody, that's not a position anybody should be in. You know, I don't have all the answers, and I don't even know if what I'm saying is coming out perfect. But I do know that, you know, we need to educate ourselves, you know, on both sides. You know, I feel like, you know, white people need to educate themselves on what the Black experience is like. You know, there's a lot of, there's not, you know, we look at the media, you know, media is a lot, it's really white, but there's some Black media. And, you know, I think it's important to have a conversation with them to understand what are some of the things they go on, because it's just as important for y'all to understand who you're working with, the things that they have to deal with. You know, football is a special place because we get to be around all walks of life, white, Black, be exposed to those things. So I challenge you guys to educate yourselves on, you know, what it's like to be Black in America. And, you know, I definitely feel like we have to educate ourselves as well, because there's a lot of things that they're not teaching us in schools. There's a lot of things that we are not learning in schools, and we need to figure out why that is. You know, everybody is supposed to be getting the same education, but we all know that's not the case. And, you know, we need to fix that. You know, what's the point in having a camera and watching someone murder someone if they're not going to be held accountable for their actions? And so, you know, I feel like this is a very interesting time right now. I feel like a lot of people are listening, especially in the white community, maybe. I'm not sure. But I think it's important that you try to get that knowledge. And I think that it's important that you reach out to your fellow Black members in the media to try to get that knowledge. Because they always say, you know, knowledge is power. And I believe that. But I also believe that the ability to use and apply that knowledge is where the true power comes. So what's good in having knowledge if you ain't going to use it? So use the knowledge, see how you can help, and, you know, spread the message. I was there at the protest on Saturday, and it was very peaceful. And so, you know, some white people started burning up cop cars. So instead of reporting, you know, report the protest, the peaceful side of the protest as well. Report the people that are doing good, because there's a lot of people that's doing good out there. There's a lot of people that want to see the world change and don't want to see the world like this anymore. We want to feel good to have our kids in this world. And it don't really hit home until it happens to you. So, you know, in the media, man, I know I you know, I can't see everybody on this, you know, Zoom call, but I would go out on a limb and say, y'all rock with me. I'm pretty sure everybody on this call rock with me. So imagine if I was that person, you know, having a knee today, they neck, how would you feel? You know, we don't need, like, it don't need to happen to someone close to you for you to feel that way. And so, yeah, I just urge everybody to educate themselves. I urge everybody to, you know, figure out what we can do to make this better. I don't have all the answers. I'm hurting and pissed off like everybody else. I'm tired like everybody else. And, you know, I want to see, you know, something different. But it's going to take some leadership. We don't have that leadership right now. We have somebody in the office that is calling black protesters thugs and white protesters good people. And that's not okay. And as white people, y'all need to check that. You know what I'm saying? That's on y'all to check that. We can only check it so much. It got to mean something to you. So, yeah, man, I think that's kind of what I had on my heart. Hopefully that came out how I wanted it to come out. And, you know, we could talk about football.
Hey, Bobby, what was your experience at the, you mentioned being at the protest on Saturday. That was here in Seattle. Or what was your experience there?
It was very peaceful. Everything was peaceful until there was a white person that threw something at cops and they start fighting or they start tear gassing everybody. And then I watched, you know, a group of white individuals destroy a cop car and set it on fire. And I watched, you know, black people try to stop them from doing that. But, you know, it just wasn't happening. And then it got to a point where I felt like it was unsafe for me to be there. So I left.
Bobby, to you, have you had any convos that you're talking about with any of your white teammates or just white colleagues around the NFL? If so, how has that gone? Do you think that's been productive and how do you think those can help?
I definitely had, you know, some conversations with a lot of my white teammates. I feel like our organization has always done a great job of just being open to having the conversation, especially Pete, being open to having that conversation. I feel like those conversations are going well. And I feel like, you know, a lot of it is, you know, people just, they don't experience it. It's not a, you know, experience that they live in. So until you understand what the black experience it is, you have to educate yourself. And so, you know, you can have a guy like Cody Barton who goes to Utah, lived in Utah all his life. There's not that many black people out there. If any, I went to school in Utah. There's not that many black people out there. So it's a different feeling. And so I think it's just taking that initiative and trying to gain some awareness into, you know, what it's like and what we make, what fears do we have and what things are we thinking about, you know, when we kind of go out into this world.
Hi, Bobby. You mentioned the emphasis on educating people right now. As a former high school history teacher, I always felt like the curriculum wasn't designed to be compatible with that kind of study. What would you like to see done in terms of, you know, with schools trying to educate people so that we can fix this issue moving forward?
I think we should try, or we have to try to educate our youth, especially on the truths. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that we're teaching in school that is not necessarily true. And so we can start with that. You know, you got to teach truth. You got to teach, you know, what actually happened in the past. And, you know, you have to teach more than just one person's truth, because there's multiple different truths on many different facets. And so that's definitely something that I feel like we have to do. And then, you know, as far as, you know, in the inner cities, you know, we have to teach them things that, you know, we don't teach. I know for sure in, you know, the public schools, they teach them something small, like writing a check. You know, something small is writing a check. And in the inner cities, we're not taught that. You taught to survive. You taught to work for someone versus, you know, owning something. And so I feel like we need to better equip our youth with better knowledge.
We've talked about these issues, as you know, for a few years now, maybe not at this intensity across the country, but Have you seen any evidence through some of the statements you've made, your teammates sitting or standing or staying in the locker room during national anthems? Have you seen any change over the years in empathy or people who are putting themselves in the black person's shoes and learning? Have we come anywhere in the last 3 years?
I can sit here and say that, you know, obviously there has been some movement, but it's not enough, you know, in my opinion, because I feel like if you screenshot this moment right now and go back in time and play it, I don't know if it looks any different. You know, you have the NBA where you got Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, several other players that were wearing a shirt that said, "I can't breathe." And I don't know exactly what date that happened. And you fast forward to right now, and there's still, you know, someone who was pleading for their life and saying they can't breathe. And that was unheard and that was dismissed. And ultimately, we saw a person die on camera. And I don't think that's something that we should ever get used to seeing. You know what I mean? Like, just imagine. You know what I mean? Like, imagine growing up. Imagine when we was growing up. Like, and you know, I'm not as old as y'all, no offense, but imagine growing up and you watching TV and all the censors that they had. You know, you couldn't say cuss words, you couldn't say this, you couldn't say that. Now fast forward to right now, where you got kids from all ages that got Instagram. All they gotta do is scroll and they see a death. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want that to be something that we get used to. And I don't want that to be something that we get comfortable with. Not only that, it'd be something that people feel like that's okay. It's not okay. And I think that's the reason why everybody is upset, because we've seen this before. You know, someone does a killing, you capture it on tape, and they don't get off, or they get off because of whatever law that they have. So that's why I feel like we need to really educate ourselves on the laws, on economics, on finances, on different things that affect ourselves, and do better.
You call on white people to educate and to vote in leaders, to help you vote in leaders who listen to the message. Do you see leaders out there locally, nationally, that can make that change, even if we voted them in?
I don't necessarily have people in mind per se. I feel like, you know, there just has to be, you know, a raised awareness, in my opinion, of, you know, what's going on. It has to mean something to you, because we sit on here, right, and something like this happens, and we, you know, do the post on Instagram, we write our, you know, we put out our messages, everybody is sincere, everybody is you know, understanding of the situation. And then after a week or two, everything kind of goes back to status quo for everybody else, but not for, you know, black people. They still have those images in their head. They still have those thoughts. They still have those fears of worrying and thinking, could that have been me? And so, you know, that's why I say I really feel like people just need to understand everybody's experience, especially the black experience, because it hasn't been great.
In September 2017, you and the Seahawks were flying to Memphis when you got word that President Trump called NFL players who knelt sons of bitches and recommended their firing. You guys organized a protest on that Saturday and stayed in the locker room on Sunday. Looking back on that, do you think that had an influence on the NFL and its fans, or are you disappointed that here we are where we are right now?
Honestly, I really don't care about Trump, and I don't care what he has to say. He has shown to be a very divisive individual. He has shown where he stands on people who don't look like him. And so anything that he says now or that he plans to say, I really don't care. As far as what we did back then, and do I feel like it affected anything? I feel like it created an awareness, it created a conversation. But the changes that we want to see and that we would like to see is not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to be done by just us, especially in the Black community. So it's going to take more than what we've done to change. But at the same time, too, it's going to take better leadership. As long as he's in office and being a divisive person that he is, he's going to invite the people who think like him and make them feel comfortable and what they're doing is okay.
A couple of years ago, you had a chance to talk with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he was in Seattle promoting his book, Writings on the Wall. Mm-hmm. And I wondered what you took from his history in the civil rights movement and social justice and police reform in that conversation. What lingers with you as far as his historical perspective?
He's a very inspiring person for sure. He's had so much wisdom. I think the thing that sticks out to me is, I think sometimes I don't know how old I was when I went there, but we sometimes don't see what the older athletes had to go through for us to be in the position that we're in right now. And so, it really challenged me to go back and really try to understand, what they went through to get some of the things that they got, and what can I do to better that and help in any way. So I think, listening to him and seeing him inspired me to be more active than I was in the community and figuring out, better ways than just, maybe hosting a football camp or, doing some of the things that we do, not saying that they aren't great, but doing some of the things that impact on kids, because that's what we want to do, is try to really, help the youth not have to go through what we went through and what they went through.
First of all, thanks for reminding some of us how much older we are than you. I appreciate that. But to that end, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. My dad was born in the late 40s. And he would tell me stories about his run-ins with police as a young man in Chicago. And those stories would resonate with me in the 70s and 80s. And now here we are 40 years from when he was telling me those stories from 70 years ago. So it's still the same thing. Did you, as a kid growing up, have someone telling you stories about their dealings with police as well that maybe resonated with you as you moved forward in your life?
I had a lot of people kind of tell me, what potential could happen. I think, I felt like, especially people in the Black community, that's actually an education piece. Like, I feel like you have to have a conversation with your son on how to deal with police officers, because there's a chance that, he might do that. He might be in that position, and you don't want him to make the wrong decision because he could get killed. And so I feel like that's a conversation that I feel I would go out on a limb and say about 90%+ Black people have to have that conversation. I think the conversation around when I was growing up was more the racial profiling. My parents kind of feared when I was walking on the street that because, we dressed a certain way that they can mistake me for someone who just committed a crime. And so we were very conscious of that. I went to school in Utah, and it was a very eye-opening experience for me. And, it's just a conversation that we have to have, because I remember specifically we were in camp and a police officer came to speak to us and kind of mentioned that Logan, Utah, is one of the nicest, safest places in America, and that they don't have much to do. So if they can get you for jaywalking, they will try to get you from jaywalking. And if you are Black, and this is his words, if you are Black and you stole something or did something, we know to look at the sports teams first, because we know that's where a lot of them are. And that's what he said. And so, you just have to have you have to be taught an awareness and have to be able to deal with certain things that may come about.
What message would you say to the youth in terms of the, I know you've talked about the education, but from an emotionalism perspective, because if you're 17, 18 or whatever right now, you've got so many emotions going through you. What message would you have for them?
I would say it's okay. It's okay to have those emotions. I think a lot of the times it's like, you know, people can talk about the rioting and things of that nature. Now, you know, all of them are not for the right reasons, but, you know, people are angry and people are frustrated and people, you know, have a right to be able to express those frustrations however they feel. You know, sometimes it's not right, but that's the point of life, right? Learning, you know, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to do things that you know, you could have done better. You know, if everybody was perfect, then we wouldn't be in this position in the first place. So I say for them, man, just understanding that it's okay to feel that way, really channel that energy and try to, you know, put it into something positive and, you know, try to reach out and look to your leaders and people that are older to you and help them, you know, guide you through this, because it's not easy and it's not something that we want to get used to. It's almost like, man, we forgot COVID-19 was a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy what's going on and it's frustrating, but, you know, we have people that want to help you get through it.
What book or audiobook are you listening to from the context of, you know, where are you finding that balance right now?
What am I reading? I'm listening to Kevin Hart's book. I love Kevin Hart's positive energy. So I'm listening to that. I'm reading about Reginald Lewis, who's one of the first Black billionaires that I don't feel like people talk about enough. And I think those are two really good places to start.
I was going to ask you about your experience at Utah when you told us that story. Did you have any other experiences there that validated what the message you heard from the police officer or anything that really stood out outside of that?
You know, there was multiple things that I encountered. I don't really care to go into them. I guess one of them would be, I'll put this in the greatest way, but I got pulled over one time and they said it was for my tent, but I didn't have any tent. But I was driving a car that wasn't mine, but it was a very nice car. And they were confused to how I got my hands on this nice of a car. And I would like to say they weren't believing me until they found out I was a football player at Utah State. And then the conversation changed. And so, you know, I think I saw a tweet Sherm put out where sometimes, you know, the thing that we do kind of affects us, you know, because we're football players, you know, people see us differently, but, you know, we still as scared as everybody else. We still have those thoughts and feelings as everybody else. We still go through those things as everybody else. Not as much, I guess, maybe, but, you know, you fear for it because what if I wasn't a football player? You know, what would happen? I don't know. And, you know, something you think about.
Do you hear people when you speak out on things like that? Do you hear people trying to minimize what you're saying because they say that, well, your experience as a professional athlete isn't the same?
You get that sometimes. You know, you get sometimes and people, you know, try to, you know, minimize what you, you know, I'm not really saying this for people to, like, for their opinion. I don't really care about their opinion. I'm just trying to, you know, share some information that I experienced, share my experience. And so you have one of two things. You can either listen or not listen. And, you know, you see we're not listening as guys.
I was wondering if you think people will now have a new perspective on Colin Kaepernick and do you hope that people maybe now understand better what he was trying to say and the message he was trying to get across?
I hope people have a new perspective on, you know, what Colin was trying to do. Because again, you know, you see with this situation, when you look on the TV right now and you see what's on the news, they're just showing you people who are stealing, showing people who are, you know, damaging different areas, things of that nature. But they don't really talk about what caused these people to feel this way. And so when you look at Colin, I mean, I think when he spoke about it, maybe it wasn't perfect, but he put out the message on why he was doing this and what he was doing this for and what he wanted to see. But yet somehow it turned into being solely about the flag. And, you know, from jump, it was never about that. He's even, you know, gone and said, hey, look, I went to the military and I asked them, what can I do to display my unhappiness with what's going on in this world right now? And so he took the time to educate himself. He took the time to talk to the people that it could offend to make sure they weren't offended. And still, that was the only thing that we talk about. Because even when we talk back about what was going on during that time, the first thing that comes out of people's mouths are the flag. It was never really about that. It was about situations like this and situations that happened way before this where the Black community is not being treated fairly. And the people that are harming the Black community is not being held accountable. And so I support him then, I support him now.
What advice or message would you have to the people who maybe they're just so afraid of the mere thought of race that they just kind of turn the cheek, or they might not harbor any racist thoughts or have any intentional actions or anything like that, or they use the classic line of, I don't see race. What kind of advice or message would you have to those people?
I would say have a conversation with a Black community. And if that doesn't necessarily change your perspective, then, you know, maybe check yourself and see if you open to hearing that. Because, you know, everybody can say those different things and everybody can have their opinion. But to me, I don't really feel like you can fully have that opinion without having a conversation with a community that sees things differently. And that's the whole thing. Like I think everybody right now, like, kind of wants to be right or wants to have everybody agree with them. But we don't all see the things the same. We don't all agree with everybody's perspective. But the point is not whether you agree or disagree, but are you listening to the perspective? Are you hearing what someone has to say? Like, are you taking the time to listen to what people have to say and not just thinking about what you're going to say next or thinking about how you can be right? You know, so I think if you do have that opinion, not saying it's right, wrong, or different, I challenge you, if you haven't already, to have a conversation with people that feel differently than you.
During times like this, there's a lot of focus put on teams and brands. You know, and I think everyone's quick to put a statement out, but I think a lot of the sentiment is that those statements can be, you know, empty and hollow. You work with a number of different partners. I'm curious if you have conversations with organizations you work with, and maybe just in general, what would you like to see from, you know, corporate America or, you know, teams or organizations, to where, you know, maybe it's beyond, you know, writing a check and saying thoughts and prayers, or what will it take to maybe take a next step in your eyes?
I don't know exactly what's the necessary step, because like you said, a lot of the times, you know, organization kind of throws some money at the thing and it doesn't necessarily kind of change, you know, what's going on. But that's not to say that their intent is not good. There's not to say that they're not trying. I mean, you know, we understand that you're trying, but I think it's actually coming and figuring out what can you do to truly have an impact. You know what I mean? Let's, you know, take the NFL, for example. I don't know exactly, so don't quote me on this, but I would say there's about, what, 3 or 4 Black head coaches. And, you know, they were talking about putting out a thing that basically incentivized organizations to hire minorities, Black people of color. And, you know, that in my opinion, that mere thought sometimes let people know that maybe you are not hiring based off ability like you should. That's kind of what I thought when I saw that. You know, I think that there are a lot of capable people doing jobs that they're not getting the opportunity. So maybe what the corporations can do is give people that are highly qualified that don't look like them an opportunity, because, you know, I think that would go a long way. But for me, I'm just trying to figure out a way to impact the community, figure out the way to own things so I can be the person in charge of giving those opportunities out. And so that's kind of where my focus is at.
You guys, a few years ago, launched the Equality and Justice for All Action Fund. You've given out a ton of grants and now just announced, you know, another $500,000 contribution is coming. So what have you guys seen come out of that in the last few years, and what's the goal with these next grants?
I can't speak directly on that because I don't know everything to that. I think Doug did an amazing job with that, and he was in the loop with kind of building that. But I definitely feel like we're just trying to figure out a way to, you know, impact our community in a meaningful way. You know, do it in a way where the money that is being given is providing real change and helping people, you know, that are affected by things like this. So, you know, I can't speak too much on it. I can only speak about, you know, the things that I do. So, yeah.
You touched briefly on your experience Saturday going down to the protest. Why was it? I mean, you could have put out a statement and gone that route. Why was it so important for you to go down and be a part of that?
I just feel like I wanted to feel the energy. You know, I wanted to see for myself. You know, I felt like there was things being portrayed on the internet and things like that. And I just wanted to see it firsthand for myself. And I could have put out a statement, but I did this instead. You know what I mean? They came to ask me like, hey, we want you to kind of come on and talk. And kind of when everything was happening, it was like, oh man, let's do it on Wednesday or Friday, let everything die down. And I was like, nah, we can do it on Monday. That can be my statement. So y'all got my statement. Y'all know how I feel. So if I don't, you know, put out a message or I don't put something on social media, because I'm really not like social media guy. I might like a photo here and there, but you know, I try to communicate with my words and let y'all see the energy behind my words. So not saying that what people are doing are bad and then putting the message out, I think it's dope. There's a lot of people that spoke up that wouldn't have. So it's just my way of doing things.
How frustrating is it just in general, whether it's Kaepernick's cause being kind of co-opted by people pointing to the flag and military aspects, or these protests here being kind of overshadowed by looters and rioters and stuff, that the messages keep getting watered down because of the actions of people on the fringes and trying to kind of co-opt the message that the people are trying to say? How frustrating is that just in general?
It's really frustrating. Obviously, people, like, you're really frustrated. You get really frustrated with, you know, people trying to basically hijack the main cause and what's truly important. And so it's frustrating, but I think the thing that we try to do is we try to, you know, especially for you guys and the media in general, is understanding what's going on. So you understand, you know, what people are trying to do to, you know, basically sway away from the message. And what you guys can do is keep putting a eye on what's really going on. So every time somebody riots, every time somebody's loitering or whatever they're doing, you still bring back the main topic and what started all of this. You can talk about, you know, what you're seeing, but still bring back the main message. You know what I mean? Still talk about things the way that you should talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, I saw a clip today, actually, where there was someone stealing from a Target or something like that. And this was a Black person. And they were talking about how, I can't believe it. This is bad. They shouldn't be doing this. It's terrible. Don't do that. But then the same situation, and it was a white woman, and she had a lot of stuff. And they said, you know, look at her. She's taking things, but we think that she might be an employee. And so just like that little perspective, like, you can change whole narrative. Like, why wasn't the other person that was taken, why couldn't they be an employee? You know what I mean? So just really, you know, being conscious of the message that you're pushing, being conscious of, you know, how you talking about Black people versus how you talking about other people is important. And I think just no matter how much they try to distract you from what's going on, being able to still get back to what's the original cause. And, you know, what's the original thing? Because, you know, when I sit and I watch, you know, all these videos that everybody's watching, you know, I'm seeing so many people get arrested. I'm seeing so many people get tased. I'm seeing so many people get tear gassed. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, man, if they would have just arrested the four cops that did this, none of this would have happened. And if they would have had that same energy with the people that they are arresting now because they are not happy with how things are going, you know, how would this have played out? So, you know, I think the people want justice. I think they want the men that were involved in this killing to be held accountable. And, you know, we're going to wait and see. And hopefully this time around, something different happens.
Bobby, in what ways have the current circumstances and what happened over the weekend been addressed in a team setting, if at all, and virtually the last couple of days?
You know, like I said, Coach Carroll is very aware of the things that are going on. So today we did not speak about football. We focused on what was going on in the world, and we gave anybody an opportunity to express their feelings, express their emotions, and express their anger and whatever it was that they're feeling. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, life is bigger than football. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening that are bigger than football. And so, you know, he provided an opportunity for guys to speak about the things that they saw, the things that they're dealing with, you know, what it's like in the city that they're in, because everybody's city is handling this, you know, differently. And so we kind of just had that conversation. I think it's dope because, you know, a lot of people don't get to be able to express those emotions and those feelings. And, you know, to have a platform and to have a situation where we could do that, I felt it was great. Because like I said, it's bigger than football. You know what I mean? I don't know how you guys felt, but it was kind of hard for me to focus on football or focus on anything other than what was going on. Because if you looked up from whatever you were doing, all you saw was what was happening, and, you know, it made it tough. So being able to speak about it was definitely helpful. And I'm grateful that, you know, we have an organization that understands it.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen ed provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.